welcome to the weekly ridiculous recap show. I'm your host, Joe What a Day Lowry. I want to thank everybody for tuning in live and on the replay, and especially everybody in the chat. Happy Easter to everyone, if you celebrate Easter. I know the world's pretty tricky nowadays, but hope everyone's enjoying their Easter weekend and their dinners and family time and all the good stuff. Thank you for allowing me to be beamed into your households on this Sunday night as we are now officially into WrestleMania week. That's right. This time next week, we'll be kicking off night two of WrestleMania. So a lot of stories are going to be told or untold or whatever, but it's going to be a big week here in the WWE. As you know, everything's kicking off. Lots of meet and greets, lots of stuff happening on the Monty and the Pharaoh channel. So do stay tuned for that. I know there's some pre-shows, prediction shows being lined up, as well as post shows. So do stay tuned for that. So anyways, moving on here. Raw kicked off this past week, and if you didn't see it already, here is my Raw recap from this past Tuesday. I'm Joe Lowry, and this is the Raw recap. Cody tells a sold-out Allstate Arena in Chicago to point to the sign. Out comes The Rock, who whispers words in his ear. Backstage, The Rock tells Jackie Redman to go ask Cody what he said. Mommy tells JD McDonough to just win. Ricochet does what Ricochet does best and gets the win. Phil comes out and tells his home crowd he will be at Mania. Drew comes out and takes a seat. Seth comes out to remind everyone he's still the champ. Drew comes up with an idea. CM Punk says he'll be a guest commentator at Mania for their match. Seth gives McIntyre a preview of WrestleMania. Candice LeRae continues her bad winning ways as Indy, Maxine, and Ivy look on in disbelief. Backstage, everyone's chatting, but it's the two men in the background that goes unnoticed until now. New Day and Awesome Truth tag match turns into a Judgment Day beatdown. Andrade beats Giovanni. Mommy says she's not getting enough attention. Becky says after this weekend, your ass got all the attention it needs. Becky lays out Dom and the fight is on. Backstage, Chad tells Sammy to focus on beating Bronson Reed. Gunther tells Kathy Kelly Bronson will beat Sammy. Reed proves Gunther right as he beats Sammy. Afterward, Chad tells Sammy he can help. Jimmy and Solo tell Jay there'll be no yeet tonight. Main event time as Shinsuke and Uso do battle. Then it's an all-out WrestleMania preview. Jay gets the win. Outside the arena, The Rock beats down a bloody Cody and says he is the final fucking boss. I'm Joe Lowry, and this has been your Raw Recap.
Sounds like that censor button really didn't line up right with my recording, but nonetheless, that was your Raw Recap. Why watch 3 hours of Raw and 100 hours of commercials before and after and during when I can just wrap it up for you in under 2 minutes? You can catch it every Tuesday morning, the day after Monday Night Raw. Speaking of Monday Night Raw, just got word that The Rock and The Bloodline will be on tomorrow night, and it has sold out at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Over 13,500 fans. We're all going to be in attendance to witness the last Raw before WrestleMania, so be on the lookout for that. And other breaking news we had was Cody has re-signed with the WWE, which means, quote-unquote from him, that he's going to be wrestling until he's after the age of 40, which is only a few years away. So probably a 2 to 4 year deal. Nonetheless, no terms of money were disclosed on that, but Cody has re-signed. So, hey, maybe that's part of the story being finished up. So anyways, look for an exciting jam-packed Raw tomorrow night. All right, moving on. Becky had a nice book signing here. Some highlights from Becky's book signing in Times Square this past week.
Somebody explain this to me, because this is my first book signing. I signed it on this page, right? This one, right?
Next one.
Oh, that's you. Is that the face?
Is that what it is?
Oh, amazing. So I'm going to be seeing you in the ring one of these days. It's a fun journey if you do start. It's a lot of fun. It's very rewarding.
Yep, Becky Lynch kicking off the book tour at the Times Square, Barnes & Noble. She actually signed over, 900 books. She spent the first 3.5 hours before the fans came in signing a bunch of copies. And then for 4 straight hours, she signed everybody else's copy. So she was there for most of the day. Most people actually lined up took 4 hours to actually line up and then actually meet her. So brave fans indeed. Before that, she did sign the books and so forth. Her book tour does continue. She has stops in Boston this week, New Jersey, and of course she wraps up, I do believe, Thursday or Friday in Philadelphia
of course, home to WrestleMania, which is now officially 6 days away. All right, moving on in the week and so forth. Here is some AEW highlights, or should I say lowlights. Yeah, that pretty much was the highlight of AEW Dynamite, as I think it was under 3,400 fans that were in attendance here. I actually have some of the numbers. They were at the Quebec City, the Le Centre Vidéotron Arena, which is a huge arena, holds about 15, 16,000 people. Tony Khan only managed to get about 3,400 people in the door. You could tell, you could actually hear Mercedes Moné coming ringside. That place should have been on fire, but unfortunately, just not getting the ratings. Here we are, 3 weeks in. She's yet to wrestle. She's yet to do anything but dress up, mess up, and all that stuff, and just be on commentary. But nonetheless, ratings despicable. Average viewers, 747,000 viewers. Ouch. That is down 6.5% from last week. It's the lowest audience total since October 10th of last year, when it was moved to Tuesday and went to head there with NXT. Then they moved it to Wednesday. This is Dynamite's lowest Wednesday night viewership since April 7th of 2021. There's that 2021 versus 2024 thing. I don't think Tony Khan's going in the right direction right now, but this ties the second lowest rated show that they have done in the 18 to 49 demo on Wednesday nights. And I got to tell you, there is a photo. I thought I had a photo somewhere. Hold on. Fan took of the photo. Where do I have it? There it is right here. Really, nobody there. 3,438, as you can see in the foreground, above ground, everywhere. Just they just tried to put everybody ringside for the TV cameras, and that was it. So I wonder if Mercedes Moné is now thinking to herself, did she make the right move here? Because get used to this. This is going to be part of what's going to be taking place with Dynamite, unless they get their act together soon. All right, so moving on here. Vincent Kennedy McMahon, yes, he's back in the news here. Vinnie Mac continues to cash out, as he unloaded over $100 million in stock this past week, with Vinnie Mac cashing out in November of 2023. And at the beginning, earlier this month, he cashed out. He has now cashed out a total of $1.17 billion, yes, billion dollars worth of stock. So as of today, the former chairman of the WWE still owns 11.5 million shares of stock, which comes out to little over $1 billion. Why even count money when it's that big, right? So there is still no word from the McMahon camp as to why he's cashing out at this time. Now, during a TKO investor call early this month, TKO president Mark Shapiro said they don't have contact with Vinnie Mac. He is free to do what he wants with his shares of the stock is concerned. They really haven't talked to him. They do not want to talk to him, obviously, with the pending lawsuit and so forth. So that's that. Vinnie Mac still cashing out. Could be using the money for lawyer's fee. Who knows what he's using it for? We don't know. And until he makes a comment, I guess we'll never know. Anyways, speaking of Vinnie Mac, Martha Hart, the widow of Owen Hart, recently broke her silence over the lawsuit. Here's her comment. I'll read it verbatim for you. This is Martha Hart, Owen Hart's wife. No, I was not surprised when I heard there was yet another lawsuit. Over the years, the WWE, they've had many lawsuits and they've had a lot of bad press. And I tell you, I read all of the 67 pages in that complaint, and it's absolutely horrific. And I have to say that the level of wickedness that's described is beyond pale in that complaint, and anyone with a shred of humanity would find the indignant acts just incomprehensible, frankly. Now, she goes on to say, it wasn't a shock that there was another lawsuit, but the level of, I guess, the depravity of this certainly was. Now, I'm a doctor in mental health, and I'm also the founder and director of the Owen Hart Foundation. So no matter what hat I'm wearing, I always work with at-risk people. And I can tell you, anyone that takes advantage of a vulnerable person is the most despicable type of person, because these are people that need to be supported and protected, not exploited. And by Janelle Grant's own admission, she was a vulnerable person. She was unemployed, her parents had passed away, and she was suffering with grief. And she was also just on the cusp of financial collapse. So these are all the makings of a very vulnerable person. Those are serious comment there by Martha Hart, the widow of Owen Hart there. God rest in peace. But yeah, it's just, you know, more people are coming out daily now. I know Becky Lynch had some stuff in her book that she mentioned it. She described Vince McMahon as two different types of people, almost a grandfatherish type person when she found out that she was pregnant, had the baby and so forth. So you're getting all these stories now, but it is what it is. All right. So I think I showed you guys this last week. I showed you the buddy. This has to be tweet of the week. when Rhea Ripley showcased her her goods the other night against Nia Jax at a house show in Springfield, Missouri. Look at that tweet he did. It's a weekly occurrence for him, huh? I got to love that. I don't know why I kept that in there, but I just did. Oh, well. Anyways, I want to say thank you very much. Baby Cakes, $5. Happy Easter. Money in the Pharaoh channel. What a day. Thank you so much for doing that. It greatly appreciated. Baby Cake's a great supporter of Money in the Pharaoh. And thank you so much for everything that you do, Baby Cake, because I probably wouldn't be here without you. That's right. That is for sure. All right. So moving on. SmackDown. Did anybody notice this guy? New England pro wrestler Teddy Goods. He appeared on SmackDown. That's right. This past Friday, SmackDown. That's New England pro wrestler and AEW alumnus Teddy Goods. He made an appearance. There he is as the mass decoy for AJ Styles' LA Knight segment. I had the privilege to work with Teddy back in the day during my time as a ring announcer for New England's largest pro wrestling company, Pro Wrestling Super Show. Teddy has actually done this type of work before with the WWE. He's been backstage. He's done bodyguard stuff. He's always been out there. Just got to look for him, though. But that is Teddy Goods. He's a great guy. Does a lot of good for the community showcase. Does a lot of fundraising events. But it was good to see him on TV the other night. Good stuff there. All right, moving on. We all saw it, right? Jade Cargill returned to SmackDown, finally signed her contract. There she is just days before WrestleMania. She got to kick some butt at the end. She looked great in the red. We were on the air with Wrestling Remembered at the time, but she looked absolutely fabulous in the ring and so forth. Then lo and behold, she came out and got her feet wet, actually kicked Io Sky there. And said, you know what? And then, of course, Naomi and Bianca were out there as well. And what do you know? They pointed to the sign. And next, you know, voila, we have another match for WrestleMania as the Kabuki Warriors. That's right. The tag champs. What's that? What is that? I'm sorry. That's Kairi Sane and Asuka with Dakota Kai taking on Bianca, Naomi, and Jade Cargill. That is official. Not sure what night that is. Now, a lot of these matches, we don't know what night is what. Only for the tag team match and so forth. We know that's night one. And Maria Davis, happy Easter to you as well. Thank you so much for donating. We love that, folks. You guys doing that really makes a big difference for this channel. Every little bit counts. So thank you so much for that. With that being said, we're going to take our first commercial break. We'll be right back.
And APB, American Protection Bureau, voted number one best on Long Island for all your security needs. Call 631-390-9050. That's 631-390-9050. APB.
You need a body shop? You need engine repair? Auto Excellence, Collision Specialists, 631-261-6420. That's 631-261-6420. Auto Excellence. Jimmy, I gotta take a dump.
What?
No, I mean I need a dumpster.
Well, for all those needs, you need to call Big V Dumpster Rental, Long Island, New York, 631-900-DUMP.
Elm Logistics, for all your logistic needs, call 631-299-3595. That's 631-299-3595. Elm Global Logistics, pride, performance, and partnerships.
All right, folks, thanks. Welcome back to the Weekly Ridiculous Recap Show. I'm your host, Joe Wendy Lowry. Again, want to say thank you very much to Baby Cakes, Joe Myers, and Maria Davis, both donating $5 in the chat. That's greatly appreciated. Money in the Pharaoh, thank you personally for that as well. You guys are the great. We can't be here without you, so your support is greatly appreciated. And while you're at it, hit that like button, subscribe, invite your friends. Do all the good stuff that social media wants us to do. Don't make it a bad thing. Make it a good thing, right? And happy Easter, by the way. So Paul Heyman, he made a comment this week. He was interviewed by Forbes magazine. This kind of caught my attention. I'll put it up on the screen here. It's a very interesting suggestion, as he laughs. And I've seen this a few times online, that there is a chance. Hey, the person that right now is scheduled to induct me may decide not to show up, in which case there's no plan B, except that I would most likely end up inducting myself. And most of my intimate experience in my life are with myself. So it would just be par for the course. But at the moment, we do not have another human being besides Paul Heyman of mine. And boy, if we did, This interview just got a couple of days later. I would be happy to give it to you as exclusive as to whom it is. That's Paul Heyman being interviewed, asking for a comment on Forbes magazine on who's inducting Mr. Paul Heyman. I've said it all along. I don't care what you say. I know a lot of people are saying CM Punk is going to be the guy to induct Paul Heyman, but I have to give it to his longtime friend of 20 plus years. They remain good friends today. It's got to be Brock Lesnar. You know, this Hall of Fame class is not the stellar of classes. It's very underwhelming. I know a lot of people, the Monty the Pharaoh, feel the same way. Feel the same way that this class this year is just not up to the par that it should be, especially when you have original WrestleMania 1 people that have still not been inducted, namely Cyndi Lauper. Thank you very much. And of course, the likes of Tony Garea, Rick Martel, Ivan Koloff, all these people that should be in there. But nonetheless, the Hall of Fame is scheduled for SmackDown after SmackDown. I think it starts at 10 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 Central. But that will be airing on Peacock after Fox ends their broadcast. You have to switch over to Peacock for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony on Peacock. That's next Friday. But I still think it's going to be Brock Lesnar. That would really enlighten a lot of people. That's for sure, because it'll make a so-so Hall of Fame broadcast a little more extra special. But speaking of special, did you guys see my newsletter this week? That's right. Bill Apter, he works for Sportskeeda now, and they do a newsletter every week. He has a newsletter that goes out every Wednesday. This is a free thing now. And I have been chosen as a guest columnist. It's called Joe Lowry Rants, and I rant about things that are going on. This week was Ronda Rousey's book is truly a SHIT show. And of course, you know, you can read my article there. You get that delivered to your inbox. All you go do is go to sportskeeda.com/newsletters, type in your email address. They'll verify it. Boom, you get it. You can also sign up to get their daily emails, monthly emails, all that stuff. But Bill puts out his special newsletter every Wednesday morning. I think it's like between 8 and 9. It's in your inbox. Boom. You're not going to go looking for it. It comes to you, and it has all the news, has a lot of stuff from back in the day when he was just getting around and all that stuff. I know we had a great lively conversation on wrestling. Remember this past Friday that Bill Apter deserves and rightfully needs to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. He's already in the other Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. So why not put him into that one? So anyways, moving on here. So I did tell you at the beginning of the show that the Barclays Center, the host of Raw tomorrow night, is sold out. This is like their seventh or eighth straight sellout now. The Rock, the Bloodline, yes, Roman Reigns will be on tomorrow night. It'll be the last Raw before WrestleMania. I still have no idea what's going on for SmackDown. Everyone's been tight-lipped. I know there's been a couple of things announced. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal has been resurrected from the ashes. There has been no talk up until this past Friday about the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and that is a go. You can go on WWE.com or anywhere else, and you can find out the participants. Whoever doesn't have a match at WrestleMania will most likely be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So, my last little highlight here, I couldn't believe it. I woke up today. I found the date, March 31st. It always rings a bell to me. And it was 39 years ago today. That's right. The inaugural WrestleMania 1. That's right. March 31st, 1985. I got a nice little story for you there. I've told anybody who knows me well. I was a very avid wrestling fan growing up. I was 14 at this stage of the game here, March 31st. And nobody wanted to take me to WrestleMania. So what I did was I told my family that I was going to play street hockey like I do every Sunday. And from March to about, you know, June or July before I got too hot to play street hockey. So I took my stick. I walked down the street. I dumped my stick and I got on the MBTA, that is the train. And I took it right into Boston Garden, bought a $20 ticket. And I sat and I watched from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. WrestleMania 1. And it was unbelievable. And as I was leaving the arena, this is where things get a little interesting. I saw a local news crew, Channel 5 News, Phil DeCesare, our local boy there up in Massachusetts, will know who they are. Mike Dowling was a sports reporter covering the show, and he was interviewing people. So he grabbed me off to the side, and what did you think of Hulk Hogan and all that? And I called him Goldilocks and, you know, just trying to play it up and all that stuff. It was fun. So I get home and I take the train home and I get home and my parents, we usually have Sunday dinner, but this time they wanted to go out to eat on Sunday. So we all went out to eat on Sunday and well, we're talking. And as we're walking into the restaurant, a lot of people are like, "Hey, Joey, I just saw you on TV. That was so cute." And everyone's, my parents are looking at me like, "What do you mean on TV?" you know, and then, you know, we're sitting there talking and, you know, I'm trying to be like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. And next thing you know, the actual news report comes on again on the 6 o'clock. I remember it's 7 o'clock news, 6 o'clock news. And my mother and father looked at me and they're like, you're on TV there, but you told us you went to go play street hockey. How can that be? And the jig was up. I got busted and I told them that nobody wanted to take me to go see WrestleMania. So what I did was I just went in town and on my own at 14. Wasn't a big deal. And to me, it wasn't a big deal. To them, they're like, you took the train into Boston, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, I wanted to go see wrestling. And I saw WrestleMania and I haven't missed one since, you know. So WrestleMania 1, can you believe it? 39 years ago today, Liberace, Cyndi Lauper, who needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I have no clue why she's not in the Hall of Fame. Billy Martin was your ring announcer. You had the Rockettes there. Muhammad Ali was a special ref who almost took Piper out with a right hand. Almost took Pat Patterson and Gorilla Monsoon out at the same time. But it was just, you know, I know A&E has a special on WrestleMania that's been airing all week and so forth that is on demand on Hulu. And I cannot imagine what if that ever failed. And lo and behold, I didn't even know it until Baby Cakes told me, and I posted this, was the fact that Howard Finkel came up with the word WrestleMania, that Vince McMahon wanted to call it the Colossal Tussle. I'm like, oh my God, that doesn't sound right at all, but WrestleMania. Now, there is one little trivia thing that I'm trying to figure out. Back then, there was a song on the radio called WrestleMania, and it had like grunts and groans in it. They had like Vince's voice in the background. I've yet to find it. I can't find it on YouTube. I can't find it in the historical archives. But there was a WrestleMania song that all the radio stations played, and I've yet to find it. So if anybody knows, that can go back to that time frame, because I've looked and I can't find it. There are other WrestleMania theme songs, but this was the first WrestleMania. They had like, you could hear people bone crushing in the background and chairs being broken. And it was kind of a neat song. And I haven't found it yet. So it'd be kind of neat to play that, because the airwaves were full of it back then. Phil might remember this. Phil DeCesare, yes. What a day, Joe. Mike Dowling, awesome. Yes, Mike Dowling. I'm actually going to reach out to Channel 5 this week to see if they have footage of that. Because I'd like to get a hold of that video, because that's the video that got me in trouble with my parents for not going to play street hockey while we were out to eat on Sunday night. So anyways, but real quickly, the chat alive and well, Ja Will, Maria Davis, Phil, Betty, all the ESOs in here, Loose, thank you, B40, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. An extra special thank you to Baby Cakes and Maria Davis for the $5 donations. They add up. They're pretty good, man. I mean, if you guys can do that, that helps fund the channel. It helps keep us going and so forth, because it's not like we're making buku bucks doing this stuff, folks, but we do it because we love it and we love to entertain you guys and we love to talk about the best thing in the world, professional wrestling. That's right, folks. So it is officially WrestleMania week. With that, I'm going to head out of here. We do have some programming notes. I think my What a Day with Joe Lowry this Wednesday is going to turn into a WrestleMania prediction show. Yes, the boys are now in the chat probably chomping at the bit on that. I was just talking to Mike on email before we got on the air here. That might be something to look, we might do. I'll forego the What a Day with Joe Lowry show, because it is WrestleMania week. It's a special time of year for all us wrestling fans and so forth. So we might end up doing that. I know they want to do a post-WrestleMania show, so stay tuned for that. Wrestling Remembered, I think I already have a topic. I think we're going to talk about past WrestleManias and so forth. Why not, right? It's WrestleMania week, so might as well keep that theme going and all that good stuff. But I can't think of anything else that's going on. I don't know who the guests are from Mike, from Monty and them this week. I know they had some production issues this week, so they'll be working on those as well. But we're going to be on the air. We're going to be bringing you pre-post, you know, who knows? Might even get daring go during WrestleMania. Who knows? But it's going to be a sprint. I think we got, 36 hours of programming between Friday Night SmackDown, Stand and Deliver Saturday, probably 6 hours of WrestleMania Night 1, 6 hours of WrestleMania Night 2. Then you have Raw After, which is historically a very rowdy and raucous Monday Night Raw. The Raw After WrestleMania has always been something. Because, you know, don't forget, WrestleMania is the beginning and the ending of the seasons for wrestling fans and so forth. A lot of storylines are going to end. Some will continue, but a lot of new things will happen too. So who knows what we're going to wake up to on Sunday morning after what happens the night before. And God only knows what's going to happen when we wake up on Monday morning after everything is all said and done. And by the way, if you do receive Bill Apter's newsletter, you're going to have a special WrestleMania rant in your email inbox this Wednesday. So, all right, that's going to do it for me, folks. I am out of here. Enjoy the rest of your Easter weekend and all that good stuff. I want to thank Monty and the Foul for allowing me to come on here and do the recap show. Look for my Raw recap Tuesday mornings right after Monday Night Raw. But that's going to do it for me, folks. Happy Easter. And everybody, take care. Have a nice night. What a day.